right? Now, when we look at that, it's a shadow of what was to come, what was going to happen. What happened with the Israelites was a shadow of what Jesus was going to do. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. When you leave out of here, even if we don't shout before you leave again, you know, we already shouted. Think about it this way. Not excitement, but assignment. Amen. Amen. We want to leave understanding our assignment. Amen. Amen. Let your light shine when you leave here. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated. You are under the blood. You are an ambassador of a kingdom. Stop shying away from important people. You're important. You represent God's kingdom. Your seat is more important than the President of the United States seat. If he ain't saved, that's not just jargon, that's true. The least in the kingdom. The Lord said this. He said this about John the Baptist. There was no greater born of women than John the Baptist. But he said the least in the kingdom is greater than John. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in Elizabeth's womb. When the salutation from Mary and Elizabeth came, the babe leapt in her womb, and she and John were filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. But he said, the least in the kingdom. Come on, help us, Holy Spirit. You see, the blood is covering your soul. The least in the kingdom is greater than John. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the word tells us, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Tell someone, purge out the old leaven. Purge it out. Let the word of God transform you. The word says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's metamorphosis. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformation has to take place in the soul. Your spirit is packing. It's just the security guard of your soul sometimes isn't transformed. Your spirit's wanting to bust out like Samson, and your mind is puny. I'm but a child. God says, listen, I knew you before you got here. I know what you're capable of. I know how I made you. I know what you're made up of. So our mind has to be renewed. There's a realm that we want to live in. I call it the realm of possibility. When you enter into that mode of thinking, you're in a realm where there are not limitations, but possibilities. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can get in a place in faith where anything, you don't want everything, but you can, anything is possible with you. Anything. You know, have you ever been there where it's working like that? Where your mind, where you have to channel, you have to focus it on what on something specific. Amen. Because anything's possible.
Amen.
But it comes through the renewing of the mind. Now remember, our soul has been made atonement for by the blood. In other words, it's covered in the blood. All right. When we are covered in the blood, we can appropriate all the benefits of the cross of Christ. As I discuss, I won't discuss all of these. I'm just going to give them to you. But the first is that of protection. Stop being afraid to fly on airplanes. Drive, you know, 95. Now, don't drive if you don't know how to drive. But stop living in fear. The blood is covering you. Number two, you have access. You have access unto the Father. Number three, you have forgiveness. You have been forgiven. Why do you walk in condemnation? Why is your conscience so sin conscious? That's religious. Jesus paid the price for us to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have access, we have forgiveness, we have grace, redemption, reconciliation, cleansing, sanctification, God's very presence, and finally, we walk in victory. He always causes us to triumph. Now, let me give you something practical about the blood. God supplied the blood of Jesus. It was supplied to us. He supplies it, but we apply it. Say that with me. God supplies.
I apply.
Now, how do we apply? We apply it a number of different ways, but one way you apply the blood is in prayer, through prayer. Another way is you decree it. You can plead the blood. Hello, it's like the using the name of. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? Amen. There is that when in His name He said you'll cast out devils in His name. Now, that doesn't just mean anybody picking up his name and using his name. The sons of Sceva said in the name of Paul's God. They had no authority. But when you walk, when you are under the blood, tell somebody, I'm under the blood.
I'm under the blood.
Every child of God, whether you are aware of it or not, is under the blood. The blood has made atonement for you. Listen, the enemy, let me use my wife, the enemy can't stand toe-to-toe with you. He can't do it. That's why he's a deceiver. He knows he can't take no saint out. That's why he tries to trick you. You know, a thief ain't gonna be walking out with your stuff while you see him. No, he go plot, see when you ain't home and try to get in that window and get out there before you get home. The blood has made atonement for us. We are under the blood. That means you carry authority. Amen. You do. You carry authority. Saints need to take back or take up that authority and stop just submitting to whatever. Well, if the Lord's will, it is the Lord's will.
Amen.
Well, the Lord will heal if it's His will. No, it's His will that you be healed. But you do you believe? So God supplied the blood. We apply it. Every morning when I pray, I plead the blood over every household in this church. I verbalize it. I release it with my words. I plead the blood over every family in our church, every family connected to me, anyone connected to me in the nations, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something else about the blood. The blood cuts some stuff off in your life. Cuts some stuff off in your lineage. Now, great-great-great-grandpa might have been an alcoholic, and everybody down to your daddy might have been an alcoholic, and now them genes tried to jump on you, but see, the blood got in the way. Amen. Tell somebody, the buck stops here. I don't care what the disease was. I don't care what the infirmity was. I don't care what the mindset was. I don't care what it was. The blood stopped it. Amen. It stops here. Stop speaking that stuff over your children. Stop claiming that stuff over your life. I don't care what they died from. God bless them. I hope they went to heaven. But no, that is not my portion. My portion is that by his stripes, I have been healed. He sent his word and he healed me. He delivered me. I'm under the blood. We are a new creation, a new generation, a peculiar people, the called out, the ecclesia. That's our portion. Every day. Amen. Stop looking at that rearview mirror. We have another DNA. Amen. God supplies and we apply. The word says and the blood does. You see, it's something about his blood. The Lord told, now just so we understand this, in Exodus 12:24, God gave the ordinance of Passover, he said, to keep it forever. So that's not just Old Testament. Christ was our Passover lamb. So that means the blood is on the doorpost. Amen. The blood. Understand something. God dealt with all the gods of Egypt. And he took out the firstborn. Think about it a moment. The firstborn were the ones to inherit everything. He took out a whole generation. Crippled a nation. Even the firstborn of the beast. Crippled them. They were no more. Wouldn't rise anymore. He took them out. But while he was taking them out, his people were under the blood. Amen. So listen, wherever we are, not just in church. That's why you are the church.
You are the church.
Wherever we go, however hairy it might be, or however dark the street is, or how, you know, the people look, you're under the blood. Amen. You are under the blood. Say it with me again. I'm under the blood. Covered by the blood. And this ordinance was to be kept forever. The Passover. Now let me talk a little bit about the leper. See, leprosy was symbolic of sin. It's interesting. In the Old Testament, whenever somebody got messed up or got on God's bad side, they became a leper. Gehazi, Miriam, different ones, they became lepers. That king that tried to reach out for the prophet and his hand became leprous. But it was always leprosy. Naaman, the leper who was cleansed of the leprosy. But it was leprosy. So the leper represents sin. Now, I want to take a quick look at the cleansing of the leper. In Psalm 51, verse 7.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Of all the words that have been spoken,